You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are talking Titans and their loss last night in Arrowhead to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get into Tennessee and Georgia coming up later this hour at 7:30. Corey Curtis joining the program at 8 o'clock to talk all things Tennessee Titans. And at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Max Herz, live from the West Coast, to give us an update on the Predators, who have won two games in a row as well. So all that coming up here on the program. Joe, I was thinking about this morning coming into the game. What did that game last night show us about the Titans, where exactly they fit in the AFC picture right now, and kind of what this means for them moving forward? I mean, look, it's an overtime loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Arrowhead, where for the large majority of that game, it felt like you had a pretty good shot to win last night, even despite the limitations that you had offensively. Joe, the one thing that really stands out to me is I think I've seen enough from this Titans defense in the last few weeks to convince me that they're good enough to keep you in the game with anybody, and I include the Buffalo Bills in that discussion. I know they got absolutely torched by Buffalo earlier this year. Number one, I think they've figured some things out since then defensively. I think they're in a much better spot defensively than they were then. And they're doing it without, you know, Hooker wasn't in there last night. Dupree leaves in the middle of the game last night. Elijah Molden still hasn't come back from injury yet. The defense, I think, is already an elite defense in this league. And they still have guys that could come back and make it better. So that's the thing, I guess, that I take away more than anything. The Titans defense is legit. I think it has a chance to be every bit as good as we thought it could be heading into the season. I still wonder what it would look like if Harold Landry was healthy and Bud Dupree was healthy the whole time and exactly what that would mean. But, I mean, this Titans defense, again, you can look at the box score if you want to last night and say, well, what are you talking about? They gave up 450 yards passing to Patrick Mahomes. Again, he threw the ball 68 times last night. This Titans defense is good. This Titans defense is legit. And I think this Titans defense is good enough, even with the limitations of this offense, to keep them in every game they play as they move forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they're finding, you know, of course, Tyr Tart is one of the guys who it was a good find a couple years ago, and then he builds up to what he is now. But, you know, DeMarcus Walker has been quite a find. Strong has been a find. Mario Edwards last night is making plays. So they're also, like, they're finding some people to come in and help out. I do, you know, last night, early on, I thought Zach Cunningham looked good too, and then he's out of the game again. Yep. So there's another, you know, thing that hasn't been as hoped, but Long is so good. You know, Byard, Fulton is one heck of a football player. Christian Fulton's becoming just a really good corner in this league, as we've talked about. But you saw it again last night. He had one bad missed tackle on Kelsey, but for the most part, man, that guy is – even the one long completion he gave up, I mean, like, you can't really cover it better than he did. It's just one of those Mahomes plays. But I agree. They should, and I agree that if they played the Bills now, it'd probably go differently. That game also blew up. You know, you botch a punt and a bunch of stuff just goes off the rails for you. This defense can keep them in any game. In any game, I think in January, as long as they don't have disastrous more injuries, it's trending that way. And again, the offense can keep them from extending a lead on anyone too. Yep. You know, it's the kind of games that they're going to have to be in, but you gotta like what you saw from that defense last night. You're right. It's funny, 'cause like now that like their past D rankings will be like horrible from this game. And yet they were really good.
Well, and you had guy. Look, you know, Bud Dupree gets hurt, the hips flaring up again last night. So he leaves in the middle of the game. But you got Danico Autry, two more sacks last night. You know, he was a force out there. And then you got guys like Mario Edwards and DeMarcus Walker making plays for the Titans last night too. Now, I will say, and I think Corey Curtis pointed this out too, you know, the Titans did a pretty good job of hemming Patrick Mahomes kind of in there and keeping him in the pocket. And then Bud Dupree leaves the game last night, and all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes is getting loose. So are those two things related? Is it correlated? I don't know, but it happened in the second half for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But you just got guys like, I mean, Mario Edwards had a sack last night, had a couple of quarterback pressures. DeMarcus Walker gets the sack last night. And some of those sacks, as Collinsworth pointed out, I mean, the Titans were just so good in coverage that Mahomes was standing in the pocket for 4.5 seconds. And when you do that, you're probably going to get sacked.
Yeah, like they had a good plan. They executed extremely well. And I wasn't sure, you know, with no Hooker. I mean, Kalu's out there. Lonnie Johnson's out there. I mean, they again, it's one of those. Of course, Adams is out there. I mean, it's one of those. And he had some ups and downs. Mitchell's out there at times. And they went through the roster with everyone but Farley. Though Chris Collinsworth told us that, you know, Caleb Farley gets healthy. Watch out. Watch out for this secondary. In his defense, you know, a lot of these things are based on conversations with people, okay? Like the network mm-hmm. meeting. So I'm assuming someone was like, well, then there's Caleb Farley. Don't forget him, you know. But no, I mean,
I think I about spit out my drink last night when he said that.
Well, he also said, you know, that there's no impact on the game with no Tannehill.
Yeah, no difference.
Titans are a running team, so you know they don't need to, you know, complete forward passes or anything like that. Oh boy. But no, look, the defense is really good. And I think it's just like the Dupree thing is, that's the only hesitation I have is like, if that's not gonna, and it's hard for me to imagine at some point, it's just, oh, no more worries about him. No more on the injury report. He's all fine. Yeah, that's the problem, because there is a difference. I don't know if he keeps him in there on some of those plays, but he might get to him faster. You know, he might get him down to the ground before he even has a chance to break the pocket. When he's out there, I thought even in run support early last night, Dupree was physical, man. He is a really good football player. So if that's just going to be a thing, and it's hard to imagine it won't be now, that's going to be a limitation.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in LD from McMinnville. LD, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Normally I save my takes for the text line, but I had to call in. This question is basically for Joe. Of course, you know, Robbie, you can chime in, of course. But is there some form of disconnect between the offensive side, so the staff and the players for the Titans, and reality? Because in the past few weeks, I've heard the OC say, oh, this play or that play was blocked up perfectly. You guys come back and say, we see this. Same as the fans, you know, we see the same thing, right? I don't know what they're looking at. Then I'm a little disappointed in NWI last night to a question, I think, from Paul about how they played, zero receptions, whatever it was. And NWI seemed like he was confused and you know, shocked that he would ask that, and thinking that, well, you guys didn't say that in the past when we were making plays. I don't know what plays they were making. I understand 4, 5, 6 receptions for the year, but good Lord. I mean, something has to give here, and that was my only comment. I wanted to get it off my chest. I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the call, LD. I mean, I did see that from Westbrook Akine last night. It, to LD's point, it kind of seemed like, what are you talking about? Didn't hear you guys talking about receiving production before. And I was like, yeah, we have, buddy. It's been bad all year. I don't know what that was about.
Is this, if we hadn't scared off NWI, he'd be listening to our show and realize that actually, no, we have been talking about that all year.
There's that.
Well, as far as the question, LD, on disconnect, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, first of all, even like that comment from NWI, I mean, look, in the wake of a loss, a lot of times you're going to get stuff like that. And yeah, look, like the Downing in particular, the one Downing play, the Malik Willis handoff, that's a fumble. Like I don't, if that was blocked well, then I don't understand basic physics, which is possible, by the way. I'm open to that possibility.
Yeah, you're an English guy, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Right. A lot more art than science.
Well, I'm sure Cody Hollister down the field was blocking well on that play.
Well, so the thing is, like, so on that point, you know, again, the second down in overtime, which was a screen. I know some people, I've seen on Twitter, some people forget, like, oh my God, these receivers are so bad. They're blocking on a pass play. It's like, actually, they were supposed to block on that play. But there was a pass to Hollister, right, where it looked like he was blocking.
Yeah, he's blocking 35 yards down the field.
He's throwing the fade to Hollister, and it's like.
Never turned back for the ball, and he was blocking, which they didn't throw a flag on either, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a disconnect right there. The whole thing, the offensive side of the ball is a mess, except run blocking and Derrick Henry. Other than that, basically, it's a mess. It gets better when Tannehill comes back, but then we haven't really talked about it again. Like, pass blocking, it's just not going to be great. I mean, Daly, I thought, like, he didn't have as glaring issues later in the game as he did early, but there's still just a few plays a game where it's like it's just ole and you're right at the QB. And I don't see how that changes all year.
Indy Ben on the text line says, Kansas City doesn't seem to play their game when going up against the Titans. Part of that is Tennessee being a bad matchup for them, and the other is Andy Reid not devising a good game plan against their defense. Why Kansas City kept running their wide receivers on deep patterns when Mahomes clearly didn't have the time is beyond me. Joe, I bring that text up more than anything because the text that Indy Ben sent before was, quote, this was back on October 26th, don't be surprised if a much more mobile and stronger armed Ellinger provides a spark for the Colts offense. I just had to bring that one up. Sorry, Indy Ben.
Sorry, Indy Ben.
Yeah, don't credit Tennessee or anything. It was all the Chiefs' mistakes.
Colts looked good yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. We love Indy Ben. Now, we really do.
Yes. And there's got to be a Bryce Young text coming, right, Indy Ben? If they keep playing like this, it's possible. Well, what the Chiefs started doing is just getting those little quick hitters to Juju Smith-Schuster in the slot and other people over the middle, because obviously Kelce was drawing multiple people, and that worked for him. But, yeah, I mean, when he tried to go downfield, for the most part, Titans were on that stuff. They had a great plan and, again, most great execution. The guy just every once in a while makes some plays, which is why he's Patrick Mahomes.
We'll got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We'll roll through those coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, it tells me the Titans are much better than the Buffalo game to strap in because the Vrabel resiliency is a real thing. Call me crazy, but I could see us going to the AFC Championship with a healthy defense, Tannehill and Burks. I mean, they know Henry's running, and he still gets 100-plus yards. This from Dustin from Hopkinsville, talking about what he learned about the Tennessee Titans last night against the Kansas City Chiefs. I hear exactly what Dustin's saying there, and I talked last segment, Joe, about the defense being able to keep you in every game, and I believe that that's 100% true. The problem is what you just brought up. The offense also has the ability to keep every other opposing team in the game as well, and that could become an issue for the Titans.
Yeah, that Mike Vrabel record in close games, it's going to get a heck of a test.
It is.
The Titans are going to be in a whole bunch of close games. They can't separate from anyone, but I don't think anybody can separate from them. So, yeah, settle in. If you like 2017, 17-13, 16-12 kind of games, settle in, because a whole bunch of them are on the way.
Chuck on the text line says, the Chiefs receivers made plays. The Titans have no one that can make plays to help out the quarterback, no matter who is under center. We got a lot of thoughts about the Titans wide receivers on the text line. I mean, really, the one solution right now, Joe, is Treylon Burks is eligible to come off IR this week against Denver. Now, I have no idea whether or not he's actually going to and whether or not he's going to play. We'll find out later this week. But that's kind of the one positive right now for the offense in the passing game is maybe you could find something with Treylon Burks that he can give you with yards after the catch coming back starting on Sunday. Hopefully he's able to come back in there because they need him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They need him. They need Kyle Phillips. For whatever you can get out of Kyle Phillips, put him out there. Kyle Phillips can give you more than what you're getting right now. Treylon Burks can, and maybe Rayson McMath. I mean, it's
well. In fairness, I think you and I can give him more now. They got zero catches last night. We can do that.
Yeah, that is true. I can do zero. I can block someone when I'm supposed to be going out for a pass route. No doubt about it. Or shove someone in the back. Again, I think that block in the back on Hollister was pretty ticky tack. Pretty ticky tack. But no, it's at least with that. I mean, at least at receiver there is possible. There is hope in other names, right? Who are supposed to be talented key contributors to this team. You know, backup quarterback is one of two options that aren't good right now. And offensive line, there's no other option other than throwing someone else out there, which the Titans clearly aren't interested in even trying or looking at, which tells you, I think, something. Or, you know, go around and find some practice squad guy and try him out. I mean, that's, to me, still the biggest problem is that, you know, Tannehill, and that's the thing, too, when you think about bringing him back, you better do all you can to protect him when he does come back. Because, you know, unless it's going to be a long time here, there's probably going to be some limitation on his mobility when he returns. And that's not good with this pass blocking.
Joe, in the secondary last night, Byard, Andrew Adams, Christian Fulton, and Roger McCreary all playing every snap last night for the Titans. Every snap defensively for those four guys in the secondary. And, you know, it makes sense with Byard, Fulton, and McCreary. I think they may have found something in Andrew Adams here. Like he's not perfect out there, and you know he'll get beat every now and then. But the guy can tackle. The guy is a really good tackler out there.
Yeah, he took a bad angle on the big one. Yeah, the big Mahomes run. You know, so he's not perfect. That's what's interesting is we don't know about Molden. When Hooker does come back, you know, are they better off having him? Having him in the slot and they feel fine with Adams back there, you know, maybe. And I still think at some point we'll see the secondary as intended with Molden at the slot and Hooker and Byard back there, but they know that they have some versatility there. And Adams has been, look, I thought Josh Kalu was flying around and they tried a couple different guys to do the quote unquote Crookshank roll on Kelsey and bump him off the line. And I thought he did, you know, some decent stuff. And it's amazing how they can find even just a handful of actually productive snaps out of so many different people on that side of the ball.
Alex from Montreal on the text line says, are we still cool with J-Rob leaving this team without real wideouts? No, we are not. I guess he's referring to trade deadline and not making a move at the deadline. That's how I'm interpreting this.
Yeah. Well, again, you could have gotten a receiver. You really needed to get an offensive lineman. You have other receivers who are hurt. You have no other offensive lineman. But hey, like I said before, trade for both. And throw in a backup quarterback too. Sean Mannion, he would have made all the difference.
Hey, I mean, look, the Bears gave up a second rounder for Chase Claypool yesterday. He had two catches for 13 yards. That would have been pretty good production.
He was on a snap count, okay?
Two catches, 13 yards, second-round pick. Look good out there.
Justin Fields just breaking NFL records.
And losing.
That's okay.
But, yes, he did. I mean, look, the bottom line is we've seen enough, at least to me, like I've seen enough with this Titans offense to know that while it may get a little better than what we saw last night, in terms of wide receiver with Burks and company coming back, maybe Phillips at some point, like it's never going to be good. Like they're not going to be a good wide receiving core this year. It's just not. I mean, that's the other part of this And I know it's a little bit harder to judge him the last couple of games, but Robert Woods is basically a non-factor in the passing game. He looks slow, looks kind of old out there, and like you said, the Titans didn't bring him in to be the number one. The idea was for him to be the number two with A.J. Brown, and what would he look like if A.J. Brown was still here? I don't know. What would the Titans' passing game look like if A.J. Brown was still here? I don't know. It'd look better than it does right now, but like I just don't even notice Robert Woods out there the last couple of games making plays, and that's not good. Now, how much of that is him? How much of that is Malik Willis? I don't know. But I think the whole year he's not been explosive.
I agree. But, yeah, the last couple of games is tough on that front for me because, like, 85% of your passing playbook isn't even employed.
Agreed.
You know, with Willis at QB. But I agree. I think Robert Woods, even in a role of, like, wide receiver two, would probably be a little bit underwhelming. You never know. That's the thing. Like, if you have A.J. Brown, it changes so much of how you're defended, you know. So maybe there's more space for him. But, yeah, he hasn't looked all that explosive at all. Coming off an ACL, that is a thing, you know, that still does matter. And maybe he's never going to be the same player. Now the Titans have had a run of that, of getting guys lately who then turn out to be, you know, not the same as what the Titans thought they were getting. So, I guess if you want to look at a positive, Austin Hooper targeted three times and you know, I mean, he can be Hooper, Okonkwo, at least you got some tight end production. But the wide receiver production, first of all, is not going to happen at all until Tannehill's back.
No.
And as we've talked about, who knows when that'll be. And, you know, it's so much now. It was already unfair to Treylon Burks. You know, the whole thing, draft night, and you make the terrible A.J. Brown trade, and now you're putting it on him. And now he's going to come back, and the state of this offense is so bad that it's like it could seriously. You're just like putting the eggs in the Treylon Burks basket now. Like, hey, can you be great now as a first round pick? And that's probably just a little bit unfair.
Well, and this is starting to feel like the opposite of a couple years ago, Joe, where it's just like the offense for the Titans was unstoppable 2 years ago, and the defense couldn't stop anybody. And now it just kind of feels like the exact opposite with this team in a 2 year span. Yeah, it's
like
unbelievable.
180. It really is.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee and Georgia. Disappointing performance for the Vols, dominant performance from Georgia on Saturday down in Athens. What does it mean for the Vols and their pursuit for the college football playoff? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Did you do anything defensively that you didn't anticipate? And was Hendon confused at times by certain looks?
No, there's some things that showed up from their tape that appeared more often. You know, we had anticipated seeing, you know, a bunch of different looks from them throughout the course of the football game. Protectionally, there in the third quarter, there's a couple of things that we didn't communicate very well. I didn't think all in all we handled the noise very well, and you know, that's false starts. It's being in sync, communication up front. At the end of the day, that hurt us certainly early in the football game, and then at times throughout the course of it.
That was Josh Heupel after the 27-13 loss for Tennessee on Saturday down in Athens between the hedges. Georgia dominant in that victory against Tennessee. Speaking of Tennessee, I got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Tennessee Vols take on the Colorado Buffaloes at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, November 13th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Tennessee Vols take on the Colorado Buffaloes at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Sunday, November 13th. 615-737-1025. Joe, you were there in person for the game on Saturday. A dominant performance by the Georgia Bulldogs. Stetson Bennett looked really good on Saturday against Tennessee's defense, and Tennessee's offense, which has been unstoppable all season, was shut down by this Georgia defense. Hendon Hooker, 23 of 33, 195 yards, had an interception in the game. No touchdown passes for Hendon Hooker for the first time in 20 games. And Tennessee never got the ball rolling running as well. 42 carries on the day for Tennessee, 94 total yards. That's 2-2 a carry. So the Bulldogs did what nobody else has been able to do, and that is shut down Hendon Hooker and this offensive attack. What'd you make of that one on Saturday for the Vols?
Yeah, well, first of all, and some people on text line have asked me, I was totally wrong on this game. Totally wrong. I picked Tennessee to win like 45-42. So I was wrong. One, although I don't believe this is the same level of defense. I mean, it's not the same level of defense. 5 first-round picks, 8 draft picks last year. One of the best college defenses I've ever seen. I compared it to like the Nebraska teams in the mid-90s that were just overwhelming. This defense is not that, but this defense is freaking great.
Yeah.
And I underestimated it for sure. Tremendous talent, discipline. Again, like a lot of those runs, I mean, the Vols went inside a lot, as they do. And in a lot, every other game this year, there's a broken tackle here or there. You know, there's some moments where you're in space and you make a move, you get some extra yards. I think Tillman did that one time, but the open field tackling alone from the Bulldogs was just spectacular. Coverage, I mean, the Keely Ringo play on Tillman, and yes, Dobbs, that should have been back shoulder, you know, and then maybe you have a chance, but still, just what an incredible NFL level first round cornerback play by Keely Ringo. And then look, there's that. And of course, I was wrong about just Tennessee's execution. It's been so good, so reliable, that I'm watching. I'm like, what do you do? They're going to execute. This is what they do. Look, if you went back to the Alabama game, Robbie, and Hendon Hooker missed a couple of those bombs that were laid out there for him to Jalen Hyatt, what happens? I think they lose by multiple scores to Alabama.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, when you have Hyatt open early, if he hits him for a touchdown there, does that change the game entirely? I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing from Georgia and they just kick their butt all day. But I'd like to see that play out, because I just felt like the Tennessee confidence, which was sky high as it should have been at the beginning, just got chipped away at, and then finally by the fourth quarter, it was like they were toast. I know they had the one TD. But incredibly impressive performance from Georgia, and just a bad performance from Hendon Hooker. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, he's the number one reason they've gotten to where they've got. He was the Heisman leader for a reason, and he's now not going to win the Heisman for a reason because of how he played Saturday. There's a lot that goes into it, and I know that we always put too much blame, too much credit with quarterbacks, but ultimately there were plays to be made. And Brew McCoy, wide open, missed him. There were plays to be made.
There were plays to be made. He missed some throws in that game. I will say it was the first time all season where Tennessee looked like they did not have the athletic advantage with their receivers. Like every time they caught the ball in space, Georgia tackled them. And that's not happened all year long. And, you know, Hyatt had the one play where he got tripped up with the official later in the game, or at the first part of the game, was that play you're talking about where Hendon Hooker misses him on that play. You know, Brew McCoy was wide open a little bit later. Other than that, there just wasn't a whole lot there for Tennessee's wide receivers in that game. And that was kind of the first time all year that I felt like that happened. I mean, look, defensively, if you'd have told me heading into the game that Tennessee held Georgia to 27, I'd be like, well, okay, well, Tennessee's going to win. That didn't happen. I think that score is a little bit deceiving. I mean, I thought Stetson Bennett looked really good, played really well in this game against Tennessee. You know, had Land McConkey streaking wide open out there at times. Tennessee or Georgia, I thought, ran the ball really well against this Tennessee defense for the most part. They had some big kind of game-changing runs. McIntosh was a load carrying the ball. So, look, I just thought it was a game where Georgia was clearly better than Tennessee was. And I think there's a significant gap between what we saw from Georgia on Saturday and what we saw from Tennessee. Now, the question is, if they ended up meeting again on a neutral field, would it look the same? Because that's the one good part if you're a Tennessee fan about Saturday. The college football playoff, to me, is still very much on the table for Tennessee. You lost to Georgia by 14 on the road. Clemson loses to Notre Dame on Saturday. Alabama goes down to LSU, and we can have the debate as to whether or not that's ultimately good for Tennessee in terms of the strength of their win. But the bottom line is that the college football playoff door is open. TCU still undefeated. They take on Texas coming up on Saturday, and Texas is a touchdown favorite in that game. So if TCU goes down, all of a sudden Clemson's lost, TCU's lost, and you'll have the Michigan-Ohio State game later in the season. Like, if TCU loses this Saturday, Joe, I think Tennessee's going to be in at 11-1.
I do, too. There are a couple things that could be interesting. One, and there's definitely there was some pretty good debate in the press box after the game. If Oregon rips through the Pac-12 and is a Pac-12 champion with the one loss to Georgia, that's an interesting conversation.
They're going to have a shot.
They're going to have a shot. Now, the champion thing, of course, is significant. I still think Tennessee's resume would be better, and Tennessee didn't get blown out as badly as Oregon did to Georgia. But it could be interesting. And then there's the Michigan-Ohio State loser compared to Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I think neither of those teams can compare to what Tennessee has done. And the thing is, I agree with what you tweeted. You know, the Bama winning probably is the preferred route, and then all the way to the title game and Georgia beats them. That's
correct.
That's your best case scenario to keep that win as strong as possible. But I think LSU is going to be, what, 6 or 7 now?
They will be.
And
yeah,
you blew out number 6 or 7 or whatever they are by 27 at their place. So, again, Tennessee's resume. Right now, Tennessee is well beyond a 50-50 chance to still be in the playoff. And look, Georgia is the favorite. They are the best team. I believe that with all my heart right now. Like, they are in position to win this because, again, their offense is really good too. And they took their foot off the gas a little bit. This could have been a bigger blowout. But the atmosphere did matter. It absolutely mattered. It hurt my head. It was incredibly loud. 7 false starts, man, for a team that already uses silent counts. I mean, you can't, like, blame Tennessee for sure, but you have to give some credit to that. The rain also, you know, didn't help. It didn't help Georgia throw also, but you put that in a weather-controlled neutral site, that game, Tennessee getting another chance at that defense. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see the rematch. And I honestly think this is probably a pretty sweet hot take 2 days after that game. I really think we could see Tennessee-Georgia play for the national title in Los Angeles on January 9th.
Well, I think there's a chance, and I think, you know, some of it's obviously going to depend on – so if you – and I thought about this the other day. Let's say it's Georgia undefeated and it's Ohio State undefeated, and then it's everybody else, whether it's – you want to put Oregon in there or you want to put Tennessee and Michigan both in there. I'd be interested to see how they seeded it. And I think what they would do, regardless of the resume, like if it's those four teams, if it's 2 from the Big Ten, 2 from the SEC, and it's Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Michigan getting in, I think you'll see Tennessee play Ohio State in the first game and Georgia play against Michigan just to avoid the rematch. I think that'll happen. The Oregon thing is really interesting to me. There's one thing, Joe, I've heard that I just don't think is going to happen, and that is LSU having a chance as 2 losses to get in if they win the SEC championship. Like, I can't see it. Like, if they beat Georgia in the SEC title game, that's great. They still got 2 losses, and they lost to Tennessee by 27 at home. Like, I don't see a path for LSU getting in. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it.
I think you're right. That would be the best win, period, in college football. And the argument would be, all the way back then, they lost to Florida State. Look at them now. That's like, who's better than this team right now? I think you're right. But, boy, if that were to play out, it would be fascinating on Selection Day. Whew.
Yeah, it would. So, what do you think's going through Nick Saban's mind right now?
I don't know, man. I tell you what. I mean, Kirby Smart, that's another big picture here. I know we got some Georgia fans on the text line. Georgia is what Alabama used to be. I'm ready to declare it, man. And I'm not saying Alabama won't come back or be great, all that stuff, but Saban's got some stuff to figure out, I think, at the coordinator level.
Yeah.
I mean, you mix – you change so often, it's bound to hit you at some point. You got a generational quarterback. Like, I'm not sure that Bryce Young shouldn't win the Heisman again. And you're out of the playoffs as of November 7th, November 5th.
Yeah.
That's not good. And Georgia is now that program.
Do you putting Stetson Bennett in the Heisman conversation?
I think he should be back in it. He was my number one in the first few weeks of the season. Yes, I think he should definitely be in New York. And, yeah, I am. How can he – the Heisman race is wild right now. Like, it's Stroud was terrible. It's like you could see someone like the May kid from North Carolina come up right now and do – like it's totally wide open. Unfortunately for Hendon Hooker, you perform like that in that game, and I think he can still get to New York, but that's probably about it for him.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, his rant of the day. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. We got a little Monday night football action tonight. Ravens and the New Orleans Saints. Ravens are favored by 1.5, and I definitely like that. I like the Ravens minus the 1.5. I just think even though they've had some injuries this year, they are the better team. I think you could take Lamar Jackson over on rushing. I think you could do an anytime touchdown by Mark Adams. Andrews, because it looks like he is coming back. But listen, not just football is going on right now. We got everything going on. We got football, we got basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup will be here. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. So when you sign up, deposit, and wager all on the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's busy to get time winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
For the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN. 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Never been around a group of guys like y'all. I'm dead serious. I mean, look, you talk about hitting some hard times. You guys just keep coming back, man. You just keep coming back. I've never seen anything like it. I told you Wednesday, man, I could smell something. You could smell something in the air, and you guys rallied. That ain't easy, man.
Yeah, I can smell something, too. It's called the Packers being a bag of crap. That was Dan Campbell after the Lions' big win against the Green Bay Packers yesterday, which I'm sure has made Joe Rexrode just teeming with joy out there watching Dan Campbell's victory speech.
I mean, Corey Curtis tweeted yesterday like it's Joe against Robbie. I'm like, no. I'm on Robbie's side. Like I said, if I could have been wearing a cheese, it's so classic. The Lions trade away T.J. Hockenson, who, by the way, looked really good for the Vikings yesterday, is going to be a very nice addition for them. You know, because it's time to just punt on a season and get a good draft pick, and then of course they start screwing up their draft position immediately. It's just so classic, so classic. I do apologize to you, Robbie, for not recognizing how much the Packers suck. My goodness.
They're awful. I'm not kidding you. Outside of maybe the Colts and the Texans and the way they're playing right now, the Packers may be the worst team in the NFL. I'm not joking. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Joe Rexrode?
It's truly astounding.
Your rant of the day. I turn things over to you.
Yeah, so here's a new one for me. This is, I guess it's a call for help rant. Like, I honestly, like, I'm really upset about this. Katie's really upset about this. So I'm using this to ask anyone if they've experienced this too, and what the hell should we do? So my wife, Katie Rexrode, who is a mother of three, a communications professional, and someone who occasionally posts cute pictures of kids on Facebook, although really she doesn't even do that anymore because, like, the kids get mad. So really, like, I think she barely posts at all on Facebook. But Facebook is, and you know, it's you can go back multiple phones now, right? With the catalog of videos and pictures that she has on there, which have the only reason I have an account is because she started my account, and then basically every once in a while it's like, hey, here's a cute memory of one of our kids from years ago when they were cute and liked us. Here, check it out, and I click on it. Okay, and then I go away as I have no use. Well. Here's a note. Katie, on Saturday, found out her Facebook account is gone. Her Instagram account is gone. This is the note. Hi, Katie. We've determined you are ineligible to use Facebook. To learn more about Facebook's policies, please review blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, for safety and security reasons, we can't provide additional information as to why your account was disabled. We appreciate your understanding as this decision is final. Thanks. It's gone. Her account's gone. Both accounts are totally gone. They've been zapped from the earth. My account, which I looked at, all the pictures that she has shared with me over years are all gone.
I've never heard of this.
What?
It's actually like, I mean, it's actually really, really awful and makes me very, very sad. And I can't even describe how upset she is about this. And
that was an email from Facebook?
And that's the thing. When I read that email, I'm like, this sounds like a scam, like someone trying to get you to personal information or something like that. You know what I mean? Like a phishing scam, which are all over the place. But no, the account has been wiped from the earth. Like that.
Well, I'm looking right now. You are correct. She is not on my friends list anymore.
Yeah, I was just looking as well.
I mean, what the hell?
I've literally never heard of this.
So, you know, now then we had the idea, okay, the kids get mad sometimes when there's a cute picture. Did someone complain to Facebook about something? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how that works, but we've been assured that's not the case. So I guess it's a hack job. All I know is, like, even if the account's gone, like, there are so many precious videos and pictures that were there that, again, go back to previous phones that she doesn't have anymore. Like, this is heartbreaking. So, if anybody has a similar experience and has any idea what this might be, please let me know. I'm like, people work at Facebook. Like, we're going to find out what the hell happened.
Yeah.
And again, like, it's Katie Rexrode. I can give you her credentials as a human being. Like, she has done nothing to have her freaking Facebook account zapped from the earth. Like, what kind of a website are we talking about here? It's crazy, man. It is crazy. I was hoping to get text from somebody like, oh yeah, I've heard this, but I'm getting like Kyle Tucker, who's like, dude, WTF on the Facebook thing. Exactly. This is a huge WTF. So if anybody has any information or any idea of what was you or has ever dealt with Facebook, please let us know.
Hit up the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, there's like big companies coming after the Rexrode family. Uber won't give you your money back. And now Facebook is taking down your pictures and accounts. This is a strange time for the Rexrode household.
I mean, my gosh. Yeah, okay, so Johnny's like, yeah, like a hack. That you've heard about, like he said, my mom's Facebook hacked, took her 2 or 3 hours. Yeah, I mean, you've heard of those things, right? Oh, my account got hacked. Twitter accounts get hacked. Then you have to, like, it's a big pain in the butt. But they don't get zapped from the earth, said this decision is final. That's it. Like, what? That's like that Sandra Bullock movie, like where she gets her identity erased on the internet.
Yeah.
What is going on here?
So somebody called in.
Freaked out about it.
Somebody called in and said it happened to his sister. But basically, it's like somebody hacks the account and then they change the name and everything. And then Facebook's like, okay, you're not who you say you are. So then they deactivate the account. That's what he said happened to his sister. They found out, but some like similar to what happened to Katie. So it's like a hack, and then Facebook detects it.
Able to recover her photos and videos?
I don't think so.
That's the key question. Can we get our photos and video? Like, unbelievable, man.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. If you have advice for Rexrode, some of your texts already pouring in. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their performance last night in Kansas City. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.